time of day, internet, and welcome back to Voices from the Grid, season four, the ZO season. Yeah, got a hell of an episode today, by which I mean my co-host and I went through hell to watch these episodes. They weren't great. First of all, it's me, your boy, the Green Zeo Ranger, Ben Taylor. And my co-host today is the one and only, truly magnificent, Panther Pink, wherever he goes, our Pink Ranger, Brian Massey. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Happy to be here.
So today we are looking into Game of Honor and the Power of Gold.
I love gold.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Two episodes that, well, one episode that's just kind of throwaway. Yeah. And one episode that starts something much bigger, should we say. So we'll move straight into Game of Honor. You had a very... So the synopsis for this episode, as on Ranger Wiki, says a strange cloaking device becomes the focus of both a Machine Empire attack and the linchpin of a young martial artist's plan to win a tournament. Will honor prevail over treachery? But that's not how this begins, is it, Brian?
No, it's not. Because, you see, the episode begins with Adam being chased by ninjas, which I thought was an interesting callback to how he first shows up.
Yep.
But then another thought hit me. I was like, wait, he's being chased by ninjas on the forest moon of Endor?
Yeah, yeah.
Like... that's what it looked like to me. So
Adam is being chased by four ninjas, and quite honestly, handles them. Like they're not, like, it's not even close. Which is an interesting point when the four ninjas reveal themselves to be the other Power Rangers.
No, you don't say.
So if you need any more proof that Adam is the best Power Ranger, he just beat the other four in a fight all at once.
This scene right here to me proves without a shadow of a doubt he should have been second in command in blue.
But he is second in command.
Yeah. I mean, already is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying usually, typically, blue is the second in command color.
But in Zeo, green is.
So, yeah.
Because it's Zeo Ranger 5 red, Zeo Ranger 4 green.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Right?
Besides, I never really thought of them as rankings, but right on. Okay, I can...
Because if red is the leader, right, which is the assumption because it's Tommy,
yeah,
he's everything, then the next number down would be his second in command, surely. Especially if we're going with the O-Ranger ranking system, because they're a military thing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good point. You make a solid case, sir.
I do want to say that this whole episode, since we're talking about it, really does underline the fact that Adam is. And I know it's me saying this, so it might lose some credibility. But Adam is the best martial artist in the Power Rangers at this point.
Yes.
Like, Tommy's dropped off of all the tournament stuff because he's going to go off and drive race cars next season. Like, Rocky's not doing as much martial arts training now. But, like, you're solidly seeing Adam continually... training and fighting and enter tournaments and focusing on his martial arts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you're seeing come, like, highlighted in this episode. Like, seeing him standing on the bluff doing the sword katas and the beach and things like that.
And which all look really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But after the fight in the on the forest moon of Endor, it's not actually the forest moon of Endor, it's just a forest, but it looks like the forest moon of Endor. They find a small golden cog that they seem to have no idea what it is.
Yeah, they're like, what is this? And I'm like, who have you guys been fighting for the past however umpteen episodes?
That have their symbol be a what?
A cog? A gear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, inside baseball, I keep up with the Super Sentai seasons, and I was like, is that a Sentai gear? No, it don't. No, wait, hold on. No, it isn't.
So it immediately cuts to the moon where our suspiciously Scottish robot Clank says, oh no, Orbis, the plan could be ruined because the Rangers found one of these golden cogs. At which point, I'm instantly like, you have an army. You could have just invaded somewhere else and drawn their attention away from the cog.
I mean, yeah, like, and at that point, like, would I put it past characters in this season to just drop something once they found it? No.
Yeah, because, like, read on Gold, I did.
So, distract them. Have them drop the thing. Okay.
And then after some testing, Zordon's like, as I suspected, this cog is something from the Machine Empire. And everyone with a brain looks at Zordon and goes, duh.
It's a very, wow, this floor is made of floor moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a big note here about Billy, like, you know, figuring out the energy signal of it. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. But it's like, what is it? It's an alien in nature. It's radiating like a radon energy. It's being powered by an outside source, which, you know, with any other character, I'd be like, how did you find that out? But because it's Billy, I'm like, okay, no, he's on top of his stuff. Right on. Thanks for the update, Billy.
Yeah. We're also, trust Billy with these matters. There's this underlying sort of threat in the episode, because it is discovered that these cogs project an invisibility field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that invisibility field is being used to cloak an armada that we never see.
Which is a shame.
But, yep. Power Rangers budget showing it's rearing its ugly head.
Yeah.
And then... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's like, yeah, the only time that you actually see them is like, oh, here's the blips and the sweeps and the bleeps on the radar. That's about it. Because I guess they just didn't have the budget for that, like you said. So, I mean, I guess at least they can kind of give the idea that, hey, there's this thing out there, but show don't tell.
Right. And then... you realize that there are two. So the idea is these cogs are set up in a perimeter, and as a unit, they create an invisibility field, right?
Right.
And as you find out later, another cog is missing.
Yeah. Right?
Because another character has one. And at which point you go, at what point does this invisibility field lose coherency? Like, and if they didn't need those two cogs, why were they there?
If they were, yeah.
if they were redundant in the first place.
I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Cog or the Machine Empire is smart enough to go, hey, you know, we might lose a few of these in the process. Let's go ahead and put some back up to kind of maintain the integrity of the shield just in case anything were to happen to one or two of them.
Yeah.
I feel like they would be the guys that go, here's the things, put them exactly here, and they cannot move.
Yeah.
Because they just don't think that far ahead. It feels like. Anyways.
So we talked earlier about Adam training to be part of the martial arts tournament. Mm-hmm. We are reintroduced to Sean in this episode and reintroduced to Veronica in this episode. Sean being the boyfriend that Tanya got literally the episode after the first non-intro episode of Zio. She got herself a boyfriend. Broke up with him like 6 episodes later. We haven't seen him for like 15 episodes. And now he pops back up and is suddenly a martial artist that he was never before.
He played baseball beforehand, I think.
Yeah, he was a star baseball player.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, And now he's a star martial artist that has a secret weapon to win the tournament.
Yeah, and he's got such a just douchebag attitude this entire scene. And then, like, I hated that so much. Because, like, all Tanya's doing is trying to support Adam, and then all of a sudden, hey, guess what? It's me, your boy. And he brings his new girlfriend in to, like, be snarky on behalf of him. And
well, I don't think that's intentional, right? Because it's quite clear that the girlfriend is there to help Sean train, and they didn't know that Adam and Tanya would be there.
Yeah.
The difference being that Adam and Tanya aren't kind of douchebags about it. Also, is it me, or is there a bit of an implied romance between Adam and Tanya in this episode?
Honestly, because I haven't seen a good chunk of the episodes prior to this, because say it with me, fans, we record these out of order. I honestly thought at this point they were dating. That's what I got from this.
Because, like, there's the moment where Sean refers to Tanya as Adam's, refers to Adam as Tanya's new boyfriend. She doesn't say anything. And then later, when they're getting ready to go up for the final, she calls him sweetie.
Yeah.
And then when Sean and Tanya hug at the end, Adam's like, oh, okay, that's enough. Break it up.
Yeah. Like, nothing seems platonic about that to me at all. Like, that to me defers that either they're dating or they're beginning a romance, or they're more than friends, it feels like to me. And whether or not I'm proven wrong in the next couple of episodes, that's on me. Sure. But
I don't think anything ever actually comes of it.
Maybe they were trying to kind of do like, I don't know. Cause at this point, are Tommy and Kat a thing?
I try not to think about that because it annoys me.
Okay. That's fair. But if they aren't, I feel like maybe they were trying to bring in a new kind of like Tommy and Kim kind of romance. Or
no, because they've been kind of pushing they've been slowly pushing towards the Kat and Tommy thing.
Yeah.
Because at this point we've had the Dear John letter from Kim, right? And, like, pretty much the moment that three-parter ended, even before the snowboarding three-parter ended, Kat was kind of making inroads. And Tommy started fancying the snowboarder, right? But even before that, Kat was like, let's go. And Tony's like, anyway.
I fancy him, I do. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I don't know if I was necessarily like championing Adam and Tanya romance, but
I wasn't.
Yeah,
because I don't know, it doesn't seem to fit very well.
No,
it seemed almost because he's been helping her learn martial arts, right?
Yeah.
Outside of being a ranger, he's been training her to fight unmorphed. So maybe it's something, I don't know. Anyways,
we've talked about this for far too long.
Yeah. But it is revealed that Sean has one of these cogs. And his plan is to use it to turn invisible. Not quite sure how he found out it turns you invisible. His plan is to use it to turn invisible to win the karate tournament. Am I the only one that figured he would get disqualified for turning invisible?
I mean, it's not like, you know, it makes no sense. Like, okay, you're going to turn invisible in front of a crowd and a team of judges. And also, I don't know, maybe he found out that you could turn invisible because a wizard told him to keep it secret, keep it safe. Don't put it on your ring, on your finger or something. Even I don't know.
Rocked up and was like, hello.
Sean, touch it. It's quite cool. Bloody wrong. Shadow Fox Rotten. I don't know. I've been watching the extended cuts recently. Yeah. Sorry. They're on my mind. Anyways, but yeah, I'm going to use this to cheat in a tournament in front of a crowd. It's going to turn me invisible. Like, I think the takeaway from there is not only going to be, well, we kind of have to disqualify this fight because some weird shenanigans happened. But the big takeaway from that is going to be, holy crap, a guy disappeared in front of us.
Right. But
like,
we're also, you've got to admit, we're in a world where, they're getting invaded by robots and aliens every week. And as I pointed out in the finale of Alien Rangers, when time wound forward, no one lost their memory of what happened during the Alien Rangers saga. So aliens are a confirmed thing on Earth.
Yes.
So a dude turning invisible kind of fits the pattern at this point.
I keep forgetting. yeah.
So do the writers, because they never address it.
No, they don't. You know what? Okay, you know what? Now I kind of want to see the alternate cut where he did cheat.
Like,
not to spoil it, but
like. And this is what I'm saying about, and again, I know it's a kid's show. Yes, I know it was written in the 90s where some shows didn't have quite so, it's the word I'm looking for. Quite so, a focus on continuity, right?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of problems that are caused by not addressing things.
Yeah. Like, had Power Rangers had the kind of like continuity through line and like writing team of something like, let's go ahead and throw something out there, like Gravity Falls.
Yeah, or like Avatar, Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
Like
Steven Universe.
The point being, right?
Yeah.
By not fit. Again, are these things like aliens and things a known quantity to the universe? Well, we know that monsters are a a known quantity, because there's that one episode this season where Bulk and Skull take the Rorschach tests, mm-hmm. and Lieutenant Stone looks in the book and is like, in any other city in the world, you would be awful as police officers, but you live in Angel Grove, so we need you.
I have this working theory that the people of Angel Grove are NPCs that get reset every episode.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of that, isn't there?
Because, yeah, like
so, carry on. No,
I was just murmuring to myself. Go on.
So Billy works out where the power source for the Armada is, and tells Alpha to target some coordinates and hit it with some kind of laser beam. When he first out gave the coordinates out, which was 25 degrees east latitude, 30 degrees north longitude, I was like, I looked it up in Google. I was like, it's in the middle of Egypt.
What? First and foremost, I dedicate the grind, sir. I appreciate the grind to that, like, to the point where you're like, hold on, let me check these out and make sure they work. I would not have done that. But, huh.
But then, they shoot the laser beam, and they shoot it at the moon. But, like, the Machine Empire aren't on the moon. They're on, like, satellites orbiting the moon.
Maybe it's hard. Maybe they were just trying to simplify it.
Anyway. Whatever. And then there's a fight with the big bad that we've not mentioned at all, because he's not really big or bad. He's just some robotic-looking Admiral Crunch guy.
I honestly, this is what I said he looked like. He looks like a mix between Captain Crook and Mayor McCheese from McDonald Land.
Yeah, his name was Admiral Abominator, and he's completely forgettable. And then we have the finals of the tournament, and it's Sean against Adam, and somehow this fight is close. Something made you think Adam might be taking it easy on him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, because Sean has literally never shown an interest in martial arts ever. Like, ever.
Ever.
And then Adam's like, yo, what up? I'm the best fighter in the Power Rangers. And then it's like, how is this an even fight?
I don't know. It made, it makes sense to, like, do it the way they did to, like, you know, create suspense. But at the same time, we all knew Adam was going to win. I mean, how could, I feel like if he hadn't won, we would be having a very different conversation this morning.
Yeah.
And I would be talking to Angry Ben.
Yeah.
I would be. So I'm happy that Adam won. But yeah, like you said, there's nothing that really indicates that, oh, by the way, in my spare time, when I'm not training for baseball, I've also been practicing blank, you know? Yeah. And I've got to say too, by the way, with like Sean and, Veronica, Power Rangers, for the longest time, and they still have this problem, it feels like, they need to really reconsider hiring people who can actually act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because so many of his lines just fall flat, and I'm just, you know, when he's sitting there talking with Tanya and then later Adam, and then like they're having this conversation, I'm just looking at this and I'm going, I am not at all emotionally invested in anything you have to say, sir. Like, you're saying it like a robot. This is me emoting. Like, please hire some actors, Saban, that can actually act.
Yeah.
But
it's because Sean makes the decision to not cheat in the finale and fight honorably and thus loses. And he and Tanya become friends once again. A cynical part of me, given I know what the next episode is, makes me wonder if they weren't considering using Sean as one of the misdirects for the Gold Ranger, which is why he could suddenly fight.
I mean, you know what? Yeah, probably. The problem with that is there's already somebody else that they're doing that way better with.
Right, but you can do it with more than one person. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. Like, they did it with the White Ranger, right? When they made the White Ranger, there were like four possible candidates.
I was about to bring that up. You had, like, what was it? Zach's cousin. You had the guy working behind the counter and all that.
Richie.
Yeah. Remember Richie?
Hey, try not to. This wasn't a great episode, let's be honest.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's ironic about Sean, like, being a martial artist, by the way, and like all we knew that he was doing was baseball, is that he has this line, and then we'll wrap this up, but he has this line with Tanya where he says, "What are you going to do next? Join the football team?" And that, to me, seems less as of a dig to her and more of a dig to, like, in the past, how, like, the Rangers were playing pretty much every sport imaginable. But it just, like, I don't know. I don't know, dude. You were playing baseball, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, and now you're a black belt? Okay, like.
Yeah. But then again, Adam was playing baseball as well. So is Rocky.
Sure.
But not to be the star player of the team, right?
No.
Like Sean was set out to be.
No, sometimes you can just play the game.
Another interesting line in this episode is from Queen Machina.
Mm-hmm.
She refers to Prince Sprocket as their first built son. But yet we find out later that he's not.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we later on we will meet Prince Gasket, I think his name is, who's actually an older son, quote unquote. Anyway, let's move on to the power of gold.
Oh yes, absolutely.
The first episode in the, I think it's 7 or 8 episode Gold Ranger arc. We get our first view of the Gold Ranger here. The synopsis from Ranger Wiki being King Mondo deploys a divide and conquer strategy against the Power Rangers, splitting them up with his latest monster, Wolfbane, and an army of cogs, an army counting 12, 6 in each fight. Suddenly, a mysterious warrior from outer space arrives on Earth to give the Rangers a helping hand. So we join things in media res with Tommy and Adam investigating a forest. And then Tanya Rocky and Cat in, no, wait, Tanya, Rocky and Cat are investigating the forest, and Adam and Tommy are investigating like a water processing plant.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me looks at those teams and goes, I think those are a little imbalanced. You've got Adam and Tommy, and then you've got the three not very good people.
Well, how would you balance that, those teams, you think?
I probably would have put Rocky and Adam on one, and then Tanya, okay, Tommy, and Kat on the other.
Okay.
Just that's because, I don't know, sending your two best Rangers, or your leader and your second in command to the same place feels weird. But it would be like, I was about to say, it would be like Kirk and Spock beaming down to the same away team, but that happened all the time.
Yeah.
It would be like Picard and Riker beaming down together.
Oh, wow. That's weird. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not a red shirt in sight.
Yeah. Well, it'd be two of us, because Picard and Riker both wear red, because it's command color in next year. Anyway.
I was referring more to TOS.
Yeah, so. I know. So they've come up with this idea to divide and conquer the Rangers that they never use again. And suddenly, both squads are attacked by six cogs each,
mm-hmm,
which all of a sudden is the hardest fight in the world.
Yeah. Like the Rangers feel like they get nerfed this episode, like hardcore.
Yeah. And I know it's to make the gold stroke black Ranger look more impressive, right?
Yeah.
But after how many episodes? Like 26 some episodes? It's hard for me to believe the cogs are a match for the Rangers at this point.
And it's even less believable when you've been shoved down your throat for however long since, like, back in Mighty Morphin Season 3, that the Zeo crystal is this crystal that keeps, like, building in power. So,
all right. Small technical glitch there. Sorry about that, folks. But we were discussing the fact that the Rangers has been kind of nerfed this episode.
Yeah,
and the Zeo crystal and its perpetual energy. You were talking about that, Brian.
Yeah, what I was saying was how weird it is, and I get that, you know, as a writer, you have to do certain things in order to make your episode work, whatever. I'm not justifying it by any stretch of the imagination, because I think this was a really dumb thing to do, but, like, you know, you got the Zeo crystal, like I was saying, and it's been shoved down our throats since, like, season 3 of Mighty Morphin, that the Zeo crystal just over time gets more and more powerful. And so for the Rangers to consistently be able to fight against the cogs, only for them to be like, oh no, we can't, what's happening, we can't fight, it's not like the Green Ranger's losing his powers here, it's not like there's a candle that's, like, taking away their powers here. So they intentionally just nerfed the Rangers so that, you know, it's crappy booking. They had them, you know, they had them go out and basically sorry, it's early in the morning, but they made the Gold Ranger look good by making the Rangers do a job, basically.
Yeah, it feels weird to me because, and I'm going to keep bringing this up they mentioned that thing in Mighty Morphin Season 3, Stark Alien Rangers, where the Zeo Crystal gets exponentially more powerful over time. And then it is never mentioned again. It's not mentioned once in this season.
They look like jobbers.
Yeah, they really do feel like they're getting their heinies whooped. And yeah, just it just feels like. And again, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that this is an ongoing thing, but at least for like the current sort of arc, the Rangers feel like they've just gotten their powers.
Yeah.
Right?
Like they're still adjusting to the suits and whatnot or something. Like it.
Yeah. And to talk about the Gold Ranger for a second.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna suffer. I swear. And this happens every time they introduce a ranger that's not a ranger to begin with. Like it happens with the White Ranger and Dino Thunder. It happens all the time. That he's like super powerful, but then when the moment he joins the team, he forgets how to do like 90% of the stuff that made him powerful. Right,
which is funny because that's not just a Power Ranger thing. That happens in Super Sentai all the time.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if that's a carryover, but it's just, yeah, it happens so often where it's like I'm a lone wolf. I'm the sixth ranger. Look at me. Look how badass I am. And then the second that they join up, it's just like, wait, how throw punch? Like what?
And like they even like when they're fighting Wolfsbane when he shows up, like Rocky busts out his power weapon, and the wolf's just like, no, give me those, and just knocks them out of his hand.
Yep, no tompers for you.
It's just
which is hilarious because I'm looking at my Lightning Collection figure going, oh, that's where they went.
And then. There's just this sort of underlying, because as they're fighting Wolfsbane and the Cogs, there's a massive disturbance from outer space, right? Which we later find out, it's this big black pyramid, which we later find out is the Black Ranger's Zord Pyramidus, which, if you look at the intro for Zeo, they're always stood in front of a big pyramid. And it makes a bit more sense once you know that that's Pyramidus. And there's a lot of investigation that goes into this, right? Like they're like, oh, what is this disturbance? What is this new pyramid? And all this. So Billy's trying to scan it and Mondo's talking about it, and they go to this roof, and Billy and a couple of the others go to a rooftop to scan for this pyramid. And there's a really nice little moment that adds to the fake out that Billy might be the Black Ranger, Gold Ranger, in that all the equipment Billy is using is black and gold.
Yeah.
I thought was quite a nice little subtle. Yeah, that's a nice, the fake out.
It's a nice little flourish. Yeah, and then he goes missing.
Yep.
During the scan.
He goes missing. And it's like, there's a big fight. The Gold Ranger shows up. They handle some business. There's a line where I think it's Rocky says, like, oh my God, why haven't we seen this guy before? And I'm like, dude, do the math. King Mondo figured it out. He's on the moon. Well, he's not on the moon, but he's in space. But you are Rocky, so I can forgive you for not being the most intelligent man.
So something I do want to bring up to when the Gold Ranger shows up, and you could potentially write this off as, wow, the Rangers aren't, you know, they're adding two and two together and getting Chair as an answer. But, you know, like, the Gold Ranger shows up, and like you said, he starts taking care of business. He goes and fights, and he's, you know, got like flash powers, you know, basically, because he can like zoom left, right, whatever. He's really super fast.
Yep.
And we're watching the Gold Ranger fight the enemy. And had this been another team, I would have said, wow, you guys are stupid. But Tommy says, like, wow, wait, whose side is this guy on? And the reason why I didn't immediately go, that's a stupid line, is because, well, it's really interesting to me, because all of a sudden, you know, the boot's on the other foot, because Tommy was always the sixth ranger. Now he's the leader of a five ranger core team, and he's watching a sixth ranger show up for the very first time. And if anybody is going to have like issues or like immediate prejudices against sixth rangers and go like, wait a minute, I don't know, is this guy on our side or not, because we just met him, it's going to be Tommy, and also probably Kat. But it's like, I kind of liked that moment where he was just like, is this guy on our side or not? Is he like faking us out? Because God knows I used to do stuff where like, maybe I was like leading people on, and that's how I was able to attack, because I got in close with them. So Tommy being hesitant about the Gold Ranger and not knowing what side he's on checks out for me. I like that.
I do like that, yes. But at the same time, knowing what I know about what happens next season, it also doesn't make any sense to me. Unless he kind of learns from this, I guess.
I would like to chalk that up to it, maybe.
Because like next season, he absolutely sort of, like he and Kat embrace TJ and Cassie, having known them for about 10 minutes. So I don't know. It's very, very swingy. Very swingy.
Very swingy.
Like it's like one extreme to the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In case you have noticed, we're kind of struggling to find things to say about this episode. So let's talk about Black Ranger. Gold Ranger. I keep wanting to call him the Black Ranger because most of his outfit's black.
He is known as a Black Ranger and O-Ranger.
Okay.
So either or works.
So
and just in case.
Sorry, go ahead.
And just a little bit of trivia for anybody that doesn't know much about O-Ranger. He's also known as King Ranger there. And it's not necessarily a shape necessarily on his helmet, but it's the kanji for king. So, cool. Now you know. Anyways, go on, Ben. What's up?
Okay. The design of our Gold Ranger and his Zord Pyramidus. What do you think of it?
I love the suit. I would love to cosplay as the Gold Ranger one day. I love the obnoxious shield. It's super obnoxious, and it just looks like they took a Zeo Ranger and were just like, all right, cool, here's your Battleizer mode. Which I love, and black and gold together just look choice to me. I love that. I love how that looks. Pyramidus, fun fact about Pyramidus, the toy creators over at Bandai, their whole mission with Pyramidus was, let's make the biggest Zord ever. let's make the coolest looking, biggest Zord ever. And I think they accomplished that.
I wouldn't say the coolest looking, but yeah.
Well, no, no, but that was the mission statement anyways. But his in pyramid form, he looks like a pyramid. Not much to say about that. You know, whether or not he's the Egyptian type or the Bass Pro Shop type, I don't know. In Zord form, he looks like a very big, chunky boy.
Yeah.
He's the biggest, chunkiest boy we've had so far, and we've had Titanus.
Right, but Titanus wasn't that chunky. He was just a platform for the rest of them to stand in.
Right.
We've had Tor at this point, right?
Maybe I misspoke, because Titanus is more of a thick boy.
Tor is the chunky boy. The big
Tor is the chunky boy.
The turtle, right?
They're all good boys. Anyway,
They are all good Zords, Bron. Yes. Except for Pyramidus. I just don't like Pyramidus's robot form. He would have been much better as like a transport Zord, or an artillery support Zord, or bits of him breaking off to augment other Zords.
Ooh, that would have been cool. Yeah, in Zord form, he looks really derpy. He's got like really tiny legs, and like he's got it's just,
yeah, no, you're right. However, in this episode where he doesn't transform into his Zord form, he's just the tank form, where he's firing beams of lightning and electricity and stuff into the sky. Absolutely badass.
The way that the sky turns black and it brings in a storm, I was just like, ooh, that's cool looking. I don't care who you are, that looks awesome.
And the storm looking a bit like the proton stream from the Ghostbusters proton pack sat well with me.
Gave me kind of like mid 90s, early 90s Undertaker vibes a little bit too, with the storm, just the way it tumbled in.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, so. It's weird, right? Because Pyramidus had this really, like, really badass intro in this episode. Like, it shows up and it handles its business. But I just can't dig on like where it goes from here. Like, I don't
know. And that's
form.
And that's perfectly fine.
Now, we'll talk about this in the finale, I'm sure. But I'm not a big fan of most of the Zord forms in ZO. I don't like the switching helmets thing, even though it's a bit unique. I definitely don't like the fact that the ZO Battle Megazord is basically just one Zord giving the other Zord a piggyback and it putting its arms over its shoulders and becoming guns. Like, it's just, there's not a lot of... Now, it makes sense in a certain way that a military in O-Ranger would design very straightforward Zords, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, it just doesn't sit well with me. I don't like it. It doesn't.
And while we're talking about them too, I guess I will, just as an aside, just to bring a little bit of levity here as well. I wish we had gotten like that, because there's a very, very popular GIF that goes around where it's the Zeo Megazord and the Red Battleizer Zord, and they're like dancing. And that's completely Sentai footage, because like the two girl rangers are down on the ground and they're doing like a aerobics thing or whatever. It's not important, but it's just something I don't know where else I'm going to bring this up in the season. But I can, even as I'm looking at my Zeo Megazord with the Red Battleizer on top of it, as you were saying, I can see your point. I kind of dig it as a design. I really love the lion chest. Where I start to fall off is the Super Zeo Megazord.
Yeah, but we'll get to that when that comes up. The point I was trying to make is Terra Midas kind of removes some of the earlier Zord formats. Like, the last episode was the last time the Game of Honor was the last time the Mega Zeo Battle Zord kills a monster. Because from this point on, it's Titanus. Sorry, Terra Midas. Because they might as well be. Like, the thing might I liked about Titanus is he was an artillery support Zord, right? He didn't merge with, like, he didn't. And I think that was a role that Titanus could, Pyramidus could have done very, very well. But.
Which I would argue that the reason why that's happening is because our Dragon Zord for this season is the Red Battle Engine Zord.
Yeah.
So then where else do you go from there? We have to still introduce a Sixth Ranger, but then we can't just have that Zord act on its own. So it's kind of saddled with.
And then we also have the Defender Wheel.
Oh man, the Defender Wheel.
Which is just the dumbest thing. It almost makes me want to watch O-Ranger just to find out what the hell they were thinking.
And then they also got the weird wheel that like the Red Ranger can stand in, and that's all
the,
that.
That's the.
Oh, that's Defender Wheel. Well, I'm confusing the two because there were two different toy. Whatever. It's sorry, I was confusing different toy releases. But yeah, the Defender Wheel is. If we're talking about how derpy Zords look, man, that guy looks.
Yeah, but it looks like, do you remember there was those toys in the 90s where you'd like plug something in and you pull a ripcord and it would just shoot out?
Yes.
It's one of those.
Yeah. It's got a really cool little gimmick where like it's got tabs on the back, and then like the second that it like lays flat on a table, it pops up and it's like a auto morphin transformer or something. But it looks goofy, just super goofy. Not my favorite season for Zords, but definitely not the worst Zord designs I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know. It just we could talk a while about this, and it would have just, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to talk about this episode. It's just, it's there to be like, look, the Gold Ranger exists.
The one thing, and I know we already touched on it, but just, I hate how much they're just like leading us through with this red herring about, oh, Billy's going to be the Gold Ranger.
You want because, to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I really do. Because, you know, you watch this episode knowing Billy and there's a line in here too that Billy says, because like, you know, the Rangers are I think it was this episode. The Rangers are all standing near Billy in the, you know, command center. And they're saying, like, what are we going to do? There's only five of us. And Billy just, like, goes, there used to be six. And that broke my heart, right? It broke my heart when he said that. And then, you know, we get a Gold Ranger. And you don't really hear what he sounds like, except for, like, maybe one or two lines. And maybe it could have been Billy. I don't know. And they do this thing too where like Billy disappears for an extended period of time. Then the Gold Ranger shows up. Then all the Rangers come back and they're like, wait, where's Billy? And he just shows up like with a smirk on his face, like nothing happened. And he's like, what are you talking about, that entrancing stranger? I have no idea who he is at all. Like, he kind of gives that energy off a little bit, maybe not quite exactly like that. And if you're a fan and you're watching that, and you don't know what's going to happen later on, you're going, oh my God, Billy's back as a Ranger. Billy's back as a Ranger. Only for your heart to again be crushed in front of you after it's been ripped out of your chest a second time, after it's been surgically put back in. It just, it hurts knowing how they're teasing you with Billy, to me, because I think he would have made an excellent Gold Ranger. I really do.
Yeah, because like in this episode, he disappears and they're like, oh, where'd you go? And he's like, I had to go take care of something. And that's all the explanation you get.
What did you have to take care of, Billy? Mind letting us in? What's up? We're friends here.
Yeah. Anyway, like we said, that's kind of the episode. It's just really throwaway. It's just a start to the... It's literally 27 minutes of television to go, look, the Gold Ranger exists. I'm going to keep calling him the Black Ranger because his main color is black.
And again, like I said, that's perfectly fine because...
Yeah.
Gold in the US, black in Japan.
Yeah. Anyway. Episodes, if I'm not understanding this right.
Happy to do these with you, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fun getting to talk about them. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean the watching the like small glance behind the curtain for everyone. We had a bit of a meeting last night as the time of recording about when we were going to record other episodes. And someone suggested we record a bunch of episodes in a row. And I went, I won't be able to do that. Because if I watch more than 5 episodes of ZO in a row, I'm going to poke my eyes out. So a lot of ZO suffers from a lot of the same things as Mighty Morphin. Anyway, let's wrap up, shall we?
Absolutely.
Brian, where can people find you on the interwebs? Mr. Pink Ranger.
Pink Ranger. You can find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B, right? Because that's what I used to be. I'm not going to
What you are in your that. Heart.
Yes, and my heart is blue. Oh, wait, that's probably not a good thing.
No, when it's inside your body, parts of your blood are blue.
Yeah, that's true. You can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek. And you can also find me at castwavestudios.com, friends of the show, reviewing beer and, you know, talking about all kinds of other cool stuff. Please check out our show, Bully Going Nowhere, and my beer review show, One Drunk Geek. Thank you for your time. And Ben, where can we find you on the worldwide Wonder Woobs?
You can find me on Twitter at Bob T. Goldfish. You can find me doing the video game thing with my good friend Jordan Johnson, aka the narrator in our scripted intros. And some days my wife over at twitch.tv_321tv. And you can find the sister show to Voices from the Grid, Awesome Mania, where myself and Michael Lindenbaum sit down with a guest every month, usually our friend Matt Carroll, but sometimes the guests rotate. Brian has been a guest on it in the past. Mm-hmm. And we sit down and we watch a pay-per-view from, at the time of recording, the year 1997. And we will riff along with it. And it's designed to be watched with the pay-per-view, much like many varied things like MST3K, Rift Tracks, that kind of thing, but for wrestling. You can find that at thxdhockey.com/x75production/awesomemania. As for Voices from the Grid, you can find us on Twitter at VFTG_PR. You can now also find us on Google Podcasts and Spotify. Just search for that there, Voices from the Grid.
You're welcome.
That being said, it has been 2 very, very mid episodes, both of which have given us a little bit of an insight into people's character. The first one being Adam, the second one being a character we don't know much about yet that will turn out to be 3 different people, but not, which is weird. But anyway, yeah. That being said, we'll leave you, as we always do, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. party on, non-gender specific honorifics.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your Zeonizers and your Zeo crystals, and may the power protect you.
Peace.